Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you've been listening already, if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. I'm glad Don Taylor is here. One of the reasons I'm glad he's here is because he's written a book that completely agrees with me. And I know you're rolling your eyes. You're saying, oh, here we go. Well, you're right. That's exactly what's going to happen. Don Taylor is our guest, and he and Gene Smalling Archer have written a book called Up Against the Walmarts. And that's Walmarts with an S. And they're not talking about all the Walmarts. They're talking about all the different types of big boxes. And it's now in its second edition. And Don is a business survival and fast growth specialist. He's the president and CEO of DataStar Communications. And he's our new friend. Don, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you this morning.
It's good to have you here. And when I saw your book, I said, we got to get this guy on the show because he agrees with me. And, of course, you know, anybody, Don, who agrees with me is obviously highly intelligent.
I understand that. I agree totally.
You're starting off on the right foot already, Don.
Good.
When you say up against the Walmarts, you used a great metaphor there, and that's what that is. When you say Walmarts, you include Walmart in your the direction of your book. But in this particular case, the Walmarts is metaphorical for all of the big boxes, isn't it?
That's right. I think every small business, whether they're in retail or service, has larger competitors. And that's really what we want to illustrate here, that those that are competing against bigger companies have many hurdles that they have to overcome. But if they do the right things, and if they do those things well, it's our belief that any small business can compete with any competitor, large or small. In fact, we've found that often the good, smaller competitors are much tougher than the big boxes.
Well, exactly, and the thing is one of our Brain Trust members, Peter Meyer, talks about. He actually wrote a book called "Creating and Dominating New Markets," and he talks to us about how small business owners not only can survive, not only can thrive, but actually can dominate in certain markets in certain doing certain things.
Sure.
Yeah.
We
talk to us.
100%.
Now the second edition, congratulations. That means the first edition was pretty darn good, and so we're proud of you for that.
Interestingly, Jim, if you'll let me brag just a minute, the first edition became an international bestseller and has been published in Mandarin Chinese and Spanish and Russian, of course, along with English, and we're proud of that. But what I think we're most proud of is that this book is a simple, straightforward guide for the small business owner who's trying to improve his or her business, who wants to compete more effectively in whatever market they're in. And it doesn't really matter whether they're in a smaller community like Noel, your listeners out in Gaithersburg, Maryland, or little larger communities like Abilene and Columbia and Sarasota and so on.
Absolutely.
Wherever you are, you can compete. That's the message.
Well, talk to us about this phenomenon of the big boxes.
Well, this phenomenon has been around for a while. Of course, the big four, Kmart, Target, Walmart, and at that time Woolworth, which is no longer, all started back in 1962. So they've been around for more than 40 years. Basically, Walmart is the king of the hill. They rack up about $285 billion last year in sales.
Wasn't Sears really the original big box?
Well, interestingly enough, Sears and Montgomery Ward and JCPenney, those were the original, multi-store chains that dominated America and became really big in their time frame, even compared to Walmart and Home Depot and the other biggies today. But
I was with Sears for a number of years in the late 60s and early 70s.
Oh, they were number one until 1990 when both Kmart and Walmart passed Sears. So that's only been 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So Sears was dominant for many, many years. But here's the key thing about Sears and JCPenney and those other boxes in their time frame, they did not dominate the markets that they went into. They almost always in the smaller communities went into a Main Street store, and they just sort of survived along with everybody else. Now, they probably generated more sales, and they got a bigger slice of the market, but they didn't just absolutely go in and dominate like some of these bigger boxes have.
Well, let me tell you.
Of course, I think they did more of the same things. Their price points were more, in the middle as opposed
That's
to
exactly the point, see, because when I was with Sears, nothing I sold was cheaper than anybody else.
Absolutely.
It was the price points that were all, we were always higher than everybody else, and we had to sell quality. We also had some credit mechanisms there. Yep. But that's the reason why we didn't hurt, the Sears didn't hurt small businesses, but the new model, the big box, the true modern big box model is different. We're going to talk about that right after these messages with our new friend, Don Taylor, the author of Up Against the Walmarts 20 Till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 1710. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget to check out our blog. Jim's blog is there on the homepage, or you can go directly to jimsblog.biz. Don Taylor is our guest, and he and Gene Smalling Archer are the authors of Up Against the Walmarts. And folks, by the way, on the website, if you go there and go into the articles, if you click on the articles and go to the little, to the search engine, and type in Waking Up in Wall World, you'll find an article that I wrote about the topic that's basically the subject. I only wrote an article. Don wrote a whole book about this topic. But, Don, by the way, tell us where the book's available and give us your website, please.
Well, interestingly enough, Jim, I don't have a website.
Well, we have
now,
to fix that, Don. It shocks me and appalls me, Don. We have to fix that, Don.
Well, while I recommend that for all of your readers, actually, my life has been, interestingly enough, since the book came out, I've been busy. I've never had to look for work. The work has come to me, and that's
no excuse, Don. We can't get enough of you, and so we need to know more about you, and you have to put that up on your website.
Well, if they go to the web, they can certainly find the book at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com, and it's in probably most bookstores at this point. It just came out at the end of August, so it's not everywhere yet. But,
right.
It's in the distribution channels, and most of your bookstores will have it. If they don't have it, be sure and ask for it.
Up Against the Walmarts by Don Taylor. Don, we were talking about how this whole evolution thing happened, and I think that helps people to understand that, you know, because you got a lot of old heads out there, people long in the tooth like me who say, well, why is it different today? I used to compete with Sears. I'm in the carpet business. I was always able to compete with Sears on carpet or on paint or on tires or whatever. I could always compete with Penney's and all those guys. Well, Mr. Walton changed all that, didn't he?
He did. He changed the focus. And if you'll think of it this way, you know, I like to think of value as being a little teeter-totter with a fat boy named Price on one end and two little skinny kids called Quality and Quantity on the other. And basically, in the consumer's mind, when that teeter-totter's level, in other words, when the price equals the quality of what we get and the amount of what we get, then we have a balance, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking about something that's a higher price like a Mercedes-Benz or something lower price like a Yugo, you know, something high like T-bone steak or something low like bologna. As long as there's a balance in the consumer's mind, they're going to buy. Now, what Walmart did is change what I call the value perception by lowering price. And, of course, Sam Walton was able to do that because he took cost out of retail. That's essentially what made Walmart as successful as it is. He bought right. He cut the distribution cost. He kept the stores, you know, low cost and no frills.
He found all the efficiencies, didn't he?
That's exactly right. And so, you know, he passed some of that savings along to customers, and he used some of that savings to fuel the growth of the company, which now, of course, has nearly 5,000 stores.
Right. And so the thing, but what he doesn't have, and when you know, for everything, a friend of mine, you know, owns a boat, he's owned a lot of boats in his life, and he says, you know, every time you get something that you want in a boat, you have to give something up. You know, there's no, you don't get everything. You gotta, you get something, you gotta give something up. Well, what Mr. Walton did, and what all the big box companies do, basically, most of them, is that they give you certain things. They give you a lot of products. They give you a price point that you can live with, that you like, that maybe is something you've never had before, anything that low, that kind of a deal. And they give it to you all in one big place that you can kind of wander around in. But what you don't get is customization. What you don't get is time savings. What you don't get is technical expertise.
That's right. Well, you know, what the big boxes, Jim, have focused on is value, convenience, and choices. And what the little boxes or the small retailers and service businesses have to focus on is convenience, service, information, personal attention, and giving them a positive experience.
Right.
And I think those things more than balance. And I also believe that by doing the right things, the smaller retailer can certainly be more competitive than they are price-wise, at least in the perception area.
You know, Don, I think the biggest challenge that small businesses have with the big box companies is not between the differences in their stores, but it's what's between their ears. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. When a big box company moves in, the people who are directly impacted by that competitor, they get this deer in the headlights look, and they say, "Oh my, the jig is up, my world is over." Well, you know what, folks? That's not true. Your world is going to change, but it's not over. It doesn't have to be over, does it, Don?
No, it sure doesn't. In fact, that's the whole theme of the book, is that if you do the right things and do them well, you can compete with anybody. And I don't care how big the box is. I don't care how powerful their brand name is. If you take care of your customers, if you focus on that customer, if you surround yourself with good people who have the customer's interest at heart, if you add obvious value that every small business can through information and personal attention and service and even convenience and experience, you know, themselves, you can compete with anyone. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about a Walmart or a Best Buy or Circuit City or Home Depot. Whatever industry you're in, if you're in retail, there's a big box in your arena, what we call a category killer in some cases, and they are absolutely going to be tough to compete with. But again, if you do the right things, do them well, you can compete with anybody.
Well, one of the things that I've been saying for a long time, Don, is that human beings have two things that are very prominent in their lives. The things that they need and the things that they want.
Absolutely.
And what I say is, let the big box companies give people what they need. You give them what they want. And the good news is, they'll pay more for what they want.
Absolutely.
Stand by. Quick break. Don Taylor and I will be right back after these messages. His book is called Up Against the Walmarts. Stay with us.
Sorry.
On blues guitar. If you like blues, it doesn't get any better than Robert Cray. Listen to this. Don Taylor is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And yes, I like blues. Don, do you like blues?
I do indeed.
Yeah. Hey, the book is called Up Against the Walmarts. And folks, if you're a small business owner, you need this book, and I mean that. And you know that I'm not that I mean that, because you've heard me talking about it. Don, they roll their eyes when they hear me get on my kick. They just say, "Here he goes again. He's on his soapbox about some of the things that I talk to them about the price war." I tell them the price war is over, and we lost.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fight a war that's over.
Yep.
And that gets back to what I was saying earlier about what people want. The biggest challenge small business owners have is getting the profit margins that they need. And the profit margins, I think, are found in giving people what they want. You know, you and I will pay a ridiculous amount of money sometimes to get what we want. But we won't pay one penny more for things that we need, will we? Because we know we can get those anywhere.
And we buy them every day, and we know what the price is, and so our value perception is whoever's selling it for less probably has the best value on everything they sell. And that's what we call the value perception, and this is where there's a real disconnect between the small business owner and the customer. The customer says, "Well, you know, I might as well go to Walmart because everything is cheaper there." Well, that's absolutely not true.
In fact,
many small business owners have items in their inventory that are priced lower than Walmart. Now, they may or may not know that. Typically, most of them don't. And of course, is one of the things we advocate in the book, is that you really know who your competitors are, what they're selling, where they're selling it, so that you can go in and do a little pricing strategy of your own instead of marking everything up the same amount, you know, 40% markup or whatever it may be. We suggest that you go in on what we call the price-sensitive items. That would be those things that typically people need, and so they're going to be priced down there pretty low in the big boxes. And then you go back in on the blind items, and you can add a little margin back in there so that you get the margin that you actually need to operate profitably, but your perception of value is much better in the mind of the consumer.
But Don, here's the thing. I have a speech that I give called Thank You, Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I say that small business owners should be thanking the big box companies, because what they're doing, first you have to believe this, and that is that a small business cannot do business with everybody. Walmart can do business with everybody. A small business cannot and shouldn't and couldn't do business with everybody. There's no way we'd fold up, we'd implode if everybody tried to do business with us. So we need to do business with just those people who are willing to pay for the special value that we can deliver.
I think we should thank
Walmart for taking those other people away from us.
Well, that's right. They eliminate some of the folks that we really don't need to be doing business with and probably can't do business with profitably. You know, we've got a chapter on marketing in the book. One of the things we stress is knowing who your customer is, being able to focus your efforts toward attracting them to your store, and then making sure that when they get there that you have exactly what they want, what they need, and that you're able to service those needs effectively. And you know, that's not hard to do if you know who your target customer is. If you don't, you know, if you say my customer's everybody, you're in trouble, because it isn't. No business, as you say, even Walmart, does business with everybody.
That's right.
They may get a high percentage of them, but they don't get everyone, and you won't either.
Folks, in chapter 2 of Don's book, he's got something called 14 success strategies, which are all the things that that you should be thinking about in order to, you know, and I was about to say compete with Walmart. You know what? Or the Walmarts? I think we should almost just disregard those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They actually live in almost in another world. See, I'm a perfect example of this. I have not been in Walmart probably in a year. I hope it's another year before I don't want to go in a Walmart.
Sure.
I don't like being in those. I don't want to hike across the parking lot. I don't want to hike back into the back of the building to get what I want. And I'll pay a little more to get it from a smaller business.
Well, and what's interesting, in many cases, you don't even have to do that. But unfortunately, the small business owner really hasn't told that story well. Those 14 success strategies that we've identified in that chapter of the book are really the best practices today of small business owners who are competing successfully in tough markets.
We have to tell our story. You said it right, Don. That's exactly right. The book is called Up Against the Walmarts by Don Taylor and Gene Smalling Archer. Don, we got a lot more to talk about. Will you come back?
We do. Let's do it again.
All right, we'll do it again real soon. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
Don Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Check this book out, Up Against the Walmarts, second edition. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember this, a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.